This podcast replay, it's brought to you by Edge Energy Drink. Grab the energy drink that gives me the edge with the best ingredients, low pH levels, delicious, and zero aftertaste. Order it at myedgedrink.com.
Ready, hour number two of the program. There he is, Franco Panizo with the blue skies. Where are you at, man?
It's a picture. It's a picture of how things are at Inter Miami Land right now.
Yes, yes. And what a way to start last night, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, that little boot by Campana, that was absolutely fantastic. And I'm happy for them, man, because, you know, for a moment there, a couple of weeks ago, they kind of got into a little funk, and I was afraid that they were going to fall out of it. You know what I mean? And somehow or another, they were able to hang on and kind of straighten things out and finish the season strong. So I was glad for that. First of all, Franco, talk to us about how the playoff standings work now, what's left, because they've got one more game left, and how it could affect the standings.
So they're qualified. They're in. Right. Playoffs are a sure thing. They could finish fourth, which would give them a home playoff game. They win this weekend and get outside results. So Neville said that that's what they're going to aim to do. I imagine that's true to some extent, but at the same time, they have to, you know, try to keep certain players healthy, certain players fresh, because, listen, the games that really matter will be the playoff games.
Right.
Sunday will help you in terms of table and positioning and all that, but you know, like you've seen, and like Phil Noah pointed out last night, Gonzalo Higuain right now is the only striker on the roster. So, you know, he said you got to take care of Gonzalo. So, you know, they'll go for it, I'm sure, but also be smart, manage it, you know, throughout the 90 minutes.
By the way, Franco does a terrific job with Miami Total Football, the podcast dedicated to Inter Miami. Make sure you subscribe to it if you're an Inter Miami fan. It is a must listen. Great information, as always, and great perspective on the game. Franco, before I get to all the good stuff, let me get the bad stuff out of the way. Campana, bro, I love what he's done, but he's got to find a way to take care of his body because the dude is very injury prone. And so I'm not exactly sure what's going on, but, you know, this is a guy that has a future here. But, man, body-wise, what's the deal with him? Because it's three different incidents already this year with his body breaking down.
So, you know, you raised a good point, right? As in, he has a future here. I think that's more of a talking point now. I think before it was a 100% sure thing that, yeah, they'll bring him back. Now I think they need to think about it because clearly, you know, there were questions about him and injuries before he got to South Florida. That's one of the reasons why he, you know, went from Europe to MLS. And we've seen even this year, body isn't holding up necessarily. So, you know, when he's healthy and available, you saw the golazo he scored yesterday. You know,
he's a productive Robinson. Robinson's always injured, but he does nothing anyway, so he's useless. But this kid actually can produce. But dude, you got to stay on the pitch, man.
Campana's much more talented than Robbie Robinson. But anyway, I get your point. Yeah. I get your point. Look, when he's healthy and available in MLS, he's shown he can make a difference. But that's the question that Inter Miami's going to have to figure out if they want to take that gamble. Do you gamble on a player that has, in a short career, has had a long list of injuries or had injury problems and is maybe warrants the label of injury prone at this point in his career? I mean, that's a question have to analyze and assess and figure out and say, well, maybe, you know, I mean, we obviously just see the injuries from the outside. They all have, you know, the science behind it. Maybe it was because of this, bad luck, you know, whatever. But if it's the case of his body just breaking down and this and that, then, you know, maybe the unpopular decision of not bringing him back is the smart one. Maybe, you know, publicly, that would be what, especially after you're going to lose one, but maybe that's the smart play in the long run. We'll see. We'll see.
The only plus I could see for them is because of the injury, he and his agent are going to have to understand we can't give you a long-term deal, and we kind of got to have to give you maybe an incentive-laden type of deal. Do they do those kind of things? Because he can't really demand a lot because he's not reliable, and that's the only – he might be reliable when he's on the pitch, but you don't know when he's going to be on the pitch. And that's right. – how many games could he have played that he missed this year?
Yeah, he half missed the season. Yeah, he's missed a good portion, probably around a third of the season at least. And he's going to miss this weekend, from what I'm hearing. Possibility he comes back in time for the playoffs. There's optimism about that, but you know, no official word just yet. No official word just yet. I mean,
he hasn't been a quick healer either. By the way,
you can see he was upset because he knows that any prolonged injury will rule him out of the World Cup contention with Ecuador. So there you go.
Yeah, no, you can tell he was pissed. You can tell he knows his body, that whatever he pulled, he knew that, oh, crap, I'm out for a while now. It's one of those deals. All right, so now let's get into the good news. I mean, brother, the play of this team and everything, you know, we were wondering about Neville. I don't think you can wonder about Neville anymore. I think he's done a really good job. I think you've got to bring him back. I think Chris Henderson has done an outstanding job of turning this mess around with some limitations that he has. And what he has, one more year of limitations, right, with salaries, and then he's freed up. So I think he's done overall. Let's start at the top. Your assessment of Neville and Henderson.
Yeah, look, Henderson has done a remarkable job of turning the roster around. You know, there was an overhaul past offseason, and that led to, obviously, with the sanctions, not a whole lot of, on paper, a lot of talent. You know, there were pieces and role players, but not a whole lot of top-tier talent. Inter Miami had one DP at the start of the year, Gonzalo Higuain, who had questions himself about, you know, his level of play and everything. And Henderson pieced together a roster that was competitive. And then Phil Neville took that roster and buy in. And it wasn't pretty at the beginning. He did say, and the players did stress in preseason, that there was going to be a need for patience. And they stressed patience. You know, us South Floridians, media, fans, just in general, I don't know if we're all that patient when it comes to sports teams and results. So, you know, the criticism came in hard early. Inter Miami was not that great during the first half of the season. They picked things up once Pozuelo came into the fold, which was a great acquisition from Chris Henderson. That helped, although it wasn't the only reason, that Gonzalo Higuain's form rose and why he's playing at the level he's playing. But Phil Neville, and I've been very critical of him, probably the most critical or one of the most critical people here in local media about Phil Neville during his two seasons here, but you have to give credit when credit's due. And look, he got, not only did Higuain raise his form and Pozuelo's impact make a difference, so did Phil Neville's change in approach. Because once Pozuelo came in, Phil Neville, and he said this in a press conference shortly after that, when you saw a different type of style of play, he said, I took the shackles off. And he advanced into Miami's lines. They started playing much more aggressively, much more attack-minded, trying to impose themselves on their opponents, trying to suffocate them in their own half. Whereas before, it was a lot more defensive-minded, sitting deep, looking to counterattack. And that clearly wasn't working. That you know, and there's coaches that would still stick with that. They would believe in their formulas being the way. You know, sometimes it works.
I think he was also in the process of figuring out who he could trust. So before I let you go run free, I need to be able to trust you that you're also going to do the defensive side of the ball too. And you're not just going to be playing on one half of the field. And I think that's probably why he started the way he did, to kind of build the foundation up of being more defensive early on. And then easing up the strings and opening things up. And once you got Pozuelo, it kind of changed things also on the offense. It really changed things up, you know, overall. So
overall for the team, I just saw a better team once it became attacked by it. I saw a team that could score goals and that believed in itself a bit more, and that what didn't look so hesitant and unsure of itself with and without the ball. I think that did wonders for the team, and obviously we've seen the fruits of that labor, because now they're a playoff bound.
And I thought Neville also, you know, to bench Higuain and go through all that mess, I think that's what a good coach does. Sometimes you have to do some of the rough, really tough decisions. But at the same time, it was a tough decision that was best for everybody, because in the end, the team ended up better. Higuain ended up better. And look at the results now, man. I mean, Higuain was a disaster of a signing for 2 years. This is the 1 year where it's actually turned out to be, this is what we wanted from the guy all the way through. And so I got to give Neville credit for ruffling those kind of, you know, big time feathers. You know what I'm saying? It's different to to go rip into Robbie Robinson or Campana or any of these young cats, but an Higuain, that's a whole different ballgame too.
Yeah, and I asked Phil about that after last Friday's win against Toronto FC. I asked him about the relationship with Higuain, because obviously managing personalities is a big part of the challenge for a coach that has very big star players on their team, the players that have played at high levels that have big egos. And you know, he went into a very long-winded answer about, you know, the relationship. He said it's always been positive, even though they've had moments where they've both told each other things that, you know, haven't been the nicest, or, you know, so like, but he's, the way he's managed Higuain overall has been a positive, and you can see it now for how Higuain's finishing his career, and that's a testament not only to Higuain but also Phil Neville. So yes, Phil Neville deserves credit. Last year I was very critical of him, and where I thought his shortcomings were, this year he deserves the praise that he's getting, because he's done a tremendous job with a team that not many on the outside thought would be able to make it this far. I didn't. I surely did not think that preseason they would get this far. I didn't think at midseason they'd get this far. I didn't even think a week ago they would get to the playoffs. I still thought that they were not enough.
That's not a fair statement for you either or anyone else, because the team that's now is not the team that started at the beginning of the season. They added.
That's the thing about MLS. MLS preseason predictions are hard to do, but you got to do it. You got to do it. If you're in media, you got to do it.
Well, you didn't have any Pozuelo. You didn't have.
I do note that caveat when I do preseason predictions in MLS. I'm like, listen, you can see one team in the first half of the season, they make one signing, one DP from abroad or wherever, and that completely changes the team. They go on a run, they make the playoffs, they can even win MLS Cup. Not at minimum.
Preseason, we're looking at Marsman, not calendar. Okay, so while we think Marsman was all right, calendar was freaking awesome this year. He did a great job for a young cat. You know, and so these are little things that happen throughout that we didn't know what was going to happen the preseason. And then all of a sudden, you know, you start, what's the Coco guy, right? Didn't they acquire him during the season?
Yeah, also? But he's barely played.
So. He's barely played, yeah. What happened to him, by the way?
He's just been injured. Yeah. I'm not surprised. He's coming from Europe. He's coming from, you know, an off season, and then to try to find his footing in MLS right away, it's a challenge in and of itself because of the travel and the different climates and all this. And then on top of that, he's coming from a break and he's training in South Florida, which is probably hotter than most places he's played in his career. So I'm not surprised that he's going through some injury issues. Next year will be the year where we can get a real idea of him, I imagine.
Right. They added a couple guys. So that's why, you know, the whole preseason thing is a joke in a way, because it's just not a good assessment of what the team really is, you know, at this point. All right. So now you look at this team going, they got Montreal left, right, on Sunday, right? That's what's left. And then after that, what do you like them in the playoffs? Do you like them to make a little noise?
I was asked this question earlier today. Look, I wouldn't consider them a favorite, but I don't think they'll be an easy out for anybody. I don't think anyone will look forward to playing Inter Miami at this point. You know, like, this is a team that has good pieces across the field and that has difference makers in Higuain, Campana if he returns and is healthy, Pozuelo. Look, the team that just won yesterday against Orlando City, its rival, was a team that didn't have Gregory, its captain, didn't have Pozuelo, its top playmaker. It lost Campana to an injury, and they still were the dominant team. It was still was only one team on that field yesterday. Yeah, Orlando scored a late goal late on. They made it 4-1, but Inter Miami dominated that game. It was a one-sided game. There was only one team on the field, and I'd be the first one to tell you if that was not the case and they won, then the scoreline was flattering. But yesterday's scoreline was as indicative, if not even maybe a little less than what we saw on the Inter Miami was that.
Oh, it was an ass kicking. It was an ass kicking. It was great. It's one of those that when you're on the other side of it, it's really boring to watch the rest of the game because they're kicking your ass. But when you're kicking their ass, boy, it's fun to just watch them just completely dominate. By the way, Lassiter,
it's playing well.
What a pass to Higuain, and then the goal score after that later on. I thought that was really, really – and Higuain was expecting another pass, and Lassiter said, "Now I'm firing that one, baby." That's fantastic to watch that kid play. And let me tell you, Bryce Dukes, that is – he's like a little pit bull, bro. He is just a tough little dude, but yesterday that was fun watching Lassiter do his thing. That was good. sounds good.
Yeah, he's definitely been the most productive winger this season, and you know his numbers aren't great, so that says something about the production Inter Miami's wingers have had this year. Definitely think that's a position where they'll look to improve this offseason. But Lassiter's has definitely been the most productive and the most lethal for sure.
Are you any of that messy crap you believe in, or what? Or is it going to happen? Because somebody tells me they think in the middle of the summer next year is when it's going to happen.
So I would say that I think Inter Miami, I've said this for at least a year now, I think Inter Miami and MLS make a very serious push to try to bring him here. Whether that's enough to make him accept or not, or have him accept, I couldn't tell you. But I think that they'll make a very serious push to try to make it happen. I mean, it would be tremendous for...
And you also think in the middle of the summer, right, after the season is over?
Yeah, after the European season ends, probably goes on a little bit of a break, and then comes in July. You know, standard mid-season European signing, or signing from Europe. It's, you know, that's if he signs. But I do think that they'll make a very good attempt. Don't forget, Messi is an Adidas guy. MLS is sponsored by Adidas. There's definitely ways that MLS can work around the salary cap and whatever they need to do to try to entice Messi. Because bringing Messi would be like, you know, when Beckham arrived and that type of impact.
No, better.
Exactly.
Better, exactly. Because Beckham's not on the pitch. This guy will be on the pitch.
No, but when Beckham was signed, I mean back to the Galaxy, like that type
of title. Exactly.
Worldwide recognition, like, okay, let's go watch these games either on TV, whether we're in Israel or, you know, South Africa or Argentina, wherever, you know, so.
They're going to be able to charge double for the ticket, and there won't be a seat available, okay?
If they sign him, yeah.
If they sign him... What's normal ticket? Like 18, 20 bucks, 25 bucks?
Sure.
Easily $40. Yes. Yeah. Easily. And the place will be packed every single game. There will not be a seat whatsoever if you bring that guy here. There's no doubt in my mind, because everybody wants to go see a legend at least one time.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it'll be fun. All right. So you're expecting them to win the MLS Cup is what you said. Okay. I like
it. I didn't say that.
You didn't say that? Oh, okay. All right. So what's going on in Miami Total Football so they can check you out?
Yeah, I mean, just still covering the team on a daily, weekly basis, you know, doing the pod, you know, after every game. So we'll have another one hopefully before Sunday's match, trying to figure out the timing. But, you know, just the normal, the usual, analyzing the games, bringing you all the latest news, updates, opinions, general punditry, and inside information that you can't get most other places or probably almost anywhere, because, you know, I think we're as plugged in as anyone that covers the team. You know, I've already looked into the Campana thing, and I said since the beginning of the year I thought Higuain was retiring, and then throughout murmurs throughout the year, you know, it's more obvious. So yeah, just tune into Miami Total Football Radio if you're an Inter Miami fan. If you haven't given us a listen yet, provide you as much things to chew on and dissect as, you know, as any radio talk show. Obviously, we just focus on Inter Miami, so it's only like once or twice a week. But yeah, we try to do as comprehensive and thorough a job as possible. You know, we give just things to talk about. We raise questions, like, you know, you mentioned Higuain's first 2 years, and now this season, I raised the question on the pod earlier this week. Yes, okay, he's retiring, and yes, he's finishing on a great note. But can you consider his overall tenure with Inter Miami a success?
Well, you know what? I would call it a success.
They had to make the playoffs. I said they had to make the playoffs this year.
That's it.
Success. And they did it. So you can now look at Higuain's tenure and say it was a success here. Not a wild, great success, but it was a positive.
Well, let's be honest now. The teams from the prior 2 years weren't very good. There wasn't really any chemistry on the pitch at all. This is the first time that we have watched long-term chemistry. I'm not talking about a game or two or a half or whatever. That happens to any football team any year, that you'll have a lucky week or two that things go your way. We have seen more chemistry on this team this year than we had ever seen. Higuain never fit in with the guys. And now you brought in Pozuelo. And I got to tell you, you know, Michelle and I were talking about this the other day. That little Argentine clique that they had, that was a cancer for this team. Let me tell you, okay? That was a freaking cancer for this team, that little clique that they had. It was too much, and it was almost like they were playing a club. Not, I'm talking about club like in college, and playing club, you know, soccer and having fun and having drinks, and let's go to the sorority and have fun. That's what it kind of reminded me of. And I think Neville's kind of made it back to get it to business. And Chris Henderson's kind of leveled it off. So I don't necessarily blame Higuain for everything the first 2 years. Yeah, it's his fault he didn't come into shape. Yeah, it's his fault that he thought he could smoke cigarettes and drink beer and score goals here. I get all of that. But everything around him was dysfunctional, which allowed him to be dysfunctional. I think these guys have kind of straightened it out now. And now look at him with Pozuelo and everything else has made his game better. So I can't lay it all on him. I got to say he did his part and the team did their part so they can be successful this year. So I would call it a success because, dude, yeah, at one point or another, you got to start proving that as an owner, you know, for Moss, he's got to start proving that he can get this thing done. So this is also very important for Chris Henderson and for Moss to make it to the playoffs this year. You got it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you saw Moss celebrating with the team and the front of the community. See how much it means to them. Again, that's the Moss brothers. We got to respect David Beckham, the organization, everybody involved, because you know not many people had him getting this far. They've done what ultimate. So much deserved recognition. A lot of work done. It's not over yet. They've got still plenty of stuff to look, but a job well done so far.
All right, Franco Panizo. Follow him on Twitter at Franco Panizo, and make sure you sign up to Miami Total Football. Subscribe to that on all platforms. Franco, as always, thank you, my brother. Enjoy the football on Sunday.
We'll talk soon during the class.
You know we will. There you go, Franco Panizo. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. And looking forward to a little football. Yes, sir. I like it. We are out here at Hialeah Park. And by the way, Edge Energy Drink, proud sponsor of our program, myedgedrink.com. Delicious, smooth, and zero aftertaste. And when I tell you zero aftertaste, I mean it. Okay? Come on out on when we go for our broadcast for our Hurricanes games. We're going to have some Edge for you. Not this game, next week. We're going to have Edge out there to serve. We're going to give you some taste testing for Edge Energy Drink. We're going to have all of that for you on our Edge Energy Drink Miami Hurricanes pre- and post-game show live from Walk-On's Sports Bistro in Kendall. So come on out there. We'll be out there on Saturday starting off at 2 o'clock. And Mike McCoy and myself will get you ready for the Canes and UNC. We will have a UNC writer joining us in the pregame show. We're going to have Gabby Urriuta joining us also to talk a little bit about recruiting. Manny Navarro will join us in the postgame show, breaking down the game. We'll have Mario Cristobal's press conference. So we will have all the coverage for you starting off at 2 o'clock. And if you want to go to a great bar, I mean an absolutely awesome bar, a ginormous bar, okay, because Walk-On's in Kendall is a ginormous bar. The roof is like 30 foot tall. There are televisions everywhere, and the food is out of control. Okay? Out of control. From their burgers to that, ruby red, something, that fish that I have that is just absolutely crazy. The gator bites are awesome. You got to try the mozzarella logs. They're not mozzarella sticks. They're mozzarella logs. Okay? I'm telling you. When Chad goes there and he tries those logs, he's going to freak out. Anybody that goes and tries the mozzarella logs, you're going to go, these are the best mozzarella. You're going to call them sticks because that's what everybody calls them, but they call them mozzarella logs because they're about that thick. Okay, they're not the little skinny ones. You know what I'm saying? Oh, and that's the other thing. If you're by yourself, the mozzarella logs alone is a meal. You might as well just make it a meal because you're only going to eat I can only eat like two. You know, when I order it, I have to make sure that I'm with a couple of other people because there's no way I can eat them all because then I won't eat my food. But they're so good. God, they are good. Those mozzarella logs are absolutely awesome. So come on out and join us on 162nd and Kendall Drive, and you're going to love it. Walk-Ons will be there for every Canes game throughout the season. So come on by and join us this Saturday starting off at 2 o'clock. What do we have here?
Oh, just so you know, live update going into the 70th minute. Arsenal still up 2-0. And I forgot to mention the American Matt Turner is in the goalposts, and that's great for USA football, I believe. So
okay, I like it.
Just a quick update for you.
Or 2-0, 2-0 still.
Yeah, 2-0 still.
2-0 still. Okay, I love it. I love it. I love it. Sloman's Home Shield, baby. Make sure you you call them if you want a free doorbell camera. And I love the folks at Sloman's. They've been a proud sponsor of our program here now in their second year. And we have lots of listeners all throughout the country that have called 1-800-ALARM-ME, and they've gotten their free doorbell camera that I've told them that you can call and get. And of course, when you get that, when you call them at 1-800-ALARM-ME, you will get the free doorbell camera. And when you use their professional installation and their low-cost central station monitoring, you're going to get an LED touchscreen pad, a motion detector, 3-arm doors, and a backup battery. Listen, all you got to do is be one of the first 40 Big O listeners, and you will get a free doorbell camera. 1-800-ALARM-ME. That's 1-800-ALARM-ME. And there is nothing like being able to go to your phone and watch everything going on in your home. You can even put a camera inside. I have a camera inside my house, too, for my dogs. So I have cameras outside. I have a camera in the front door, and I have a camera inside. You know, it's just one of those things that we do nowadays to kind of keep up with everything going on. And you always want to know. And the sensors pick up everything that's approaching your home. So if somebody's delivering. And what I love also is that you can control everything with your phone. So if you know your hands are going to be full walking into the door, do you really want to open the key and then also hit the keypad and all that? Forget that, dude. You go to the phone and you turn it off as you're pulling into your house. So the alarm is off. So now you're walking in with your hands full. You don't have to worry about also turning off the alarm and it's sounding. And then you're like balancing stuff and dropping things. Forget that, man. Okay. Somebody's delivering food or a package. They come right up to the door. You know, maybe you're headed home and they're getting there a little before. You can tell them, hey, please leave it right there. I'll be there in a minute. Thank you. And you're already talking with the person. You're in control. It's a beautiful thing. 1-800-ALARM-ME. That's 1-800-ALARM-ME. All right, let's talk a little baseball, because baseball has been very, very good to me. It's also been very good to Craig Mish. Not to the Marlins fans, but to Craig Mish for sure. Let's bring him aboard as Craig Mish is ready to talk a little baseball. Where are we at?
Time to step in the batter's box with one of the best insiders covering Major League Baseball and the Miami Marlins, Craig Mish. The Batter's Box is brought to you by Welton Ray Ohm Attorneys at Law. Personal injury, bankruptcy, or criminal defense. Call for a free consultation. 954-966-4646 or go online at WRFLALaw.com. Here's insider Craig Mish.
Ah, yes. Mr. Mish, how are you doing, sir? You doing good?
Doing great. Good to see you, Big O. What's happening?
Great to see you. So if you caught 62, would you give it back?
No way. Come on. That's a stupid question. What kind of question is that?
How much you want for it?
I mean, it's not about that. It's life-changing money, regardless. If it's 500,000, $1 million, $1.5 million, $2 million. I mean, I just never understood the fascination with people on a soapbox saying that if they caught it, they would give it back. You know, like, go put yourself in that position and see it happen and see how, and just take the ball home for one night and see how your life changes that day. I mean, look, if you're a multimillionaire and you catch a ball that's worth $1 million, you certainly could consider giving it back.
I think this guy's got bucks, actually. The guy that caught it.
No, maybe. We really don't know. But in the end, it's, you know, for me, you paid for a ticket. You caught a ball. It's your ball. Aaron Judge is owed nothing. The Yankees are owed nothing. There's a big difference, like, catching. I mean, I guess you don't know, because Mike Trout's home run, at first, nobody thought that would be anything, and that's probably worth $1 million or $2 million. But really, in the end, if it's a prospect ball that's not supposed to be, you know, anything spectacular, fine. Like, Julio Rodriguez hit his first home run in Miami, Orlando, earlier this year for Seattle. And some fan gave back the ball, probably a bad decision, probably in the end, because if this kid becomes a star, that's going to be regrettable, and it's hard to know in the moment. But I've always been on the fans' side of this, where, hey, your decision, fine, but for me, I've hustled way too long,
right,
in business to pass up a lottery ticket. I just am not going to do that.
Me neither. I would never do that. Let me ask you, will that ball climb? Because in the eyes of many, he is the real home run king because of the shadow that looms over Bonds, Sosa, and McGuire, that we don't look at them as they did it the right way, that they cheated at that moment. And, you know, we don't even know if Judge is clean or not either, but, sure, you know, the perception is that he's clean. I mean, Judge is such a likable dude. It just seems like, damn, he carries himself so well, dude. He's, you know. And by the way, the coolest thing for the Yankees, the top three home run kings in the history of the American League are all three Yankees. That's pretty freaking cool, by the way.
Who am I missing? It's Ruth.
Maris. Ruth and Maris is not Yankee?
Maris, Ruth, and Judge. Gotcha.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Okay.
I mean, at this point, you just have to accept the records for what they are. Bonds is the home run king. You know, but I would say, Orlando, that, like, could the ball maintain its value? I think that's the question that you have to ask. And if he still is on the Yankees and he ends up in the Hall of Fame and he ends up hitting 500 or 600 home runs and he has the home run record, yeah, I mean, I think it can maintain. But as far as, like, going up or anything like that, nah, like, I don't think so. I guess there was an offer of $2 million. That seemed really high for me. It seemed high personally. Excuse me, but no auction house can offer that unless they could sell it for 20% more. So it must be worth that.
Wow, that's what the auction house gets, an extra 20%? That's what they get? I didn't know that. I didn't know the number.
18, usually 17.
Something. Wow, that's a hot, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Damn, dude. Yeah. Holy crap. All right. Ohtani. So he's in the ERA and batting title.
Yep. And he'll finish second in the MVP.
It's just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
He is ridiculous.
He's the best player. He's the best, having the best seasons of all time in the history of baseball, back to back.
This is so free. And his ERA for the Angels is like the lowest ERA since Nolan Ryan in 1972.
Ohtani was on the Yankees and Judge was on the Angels, Ohtani would be the unanimous MVP.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. That's it.
Are you all right giving Judge the MVP?
There's no choice in the matter, but I would vote for Ohtani if I had a vote.
Okay, right. Yeah, right. Exactly. That, because I would vote for Ohtani.
Are you kidding me?
To me, it's not even a close vote between.
I say the same thing on all the shows that I've been on and talk about this. And you grew up in the 80s like I did. Imagine in the 80s, Orlando, I'm like, all right, here's what's going to happen. 30 years from now, you and I are going to be doing a show. There's going to be a player. He's the best hitter in baseball and the best pitcher. Or close.
No
pitcher.
Shot. You're an idiot. Like,
that guy is the MVP every year if he's playing.
Yes.
No,
and I'm calling you a moron 30 years ago.
Yeah, you like there's like, no chance.
Get out of here, bro. You're crazy. I just saw this stat. He faced more innings than any player in the history of the game because of the batting and the pitching. It's like 5,000 innings or something stupid. I mean, this is not human what he's doing, bro.
Judge has had a great year, but it's New York bias. That's all there is to it. Judge was on Kansas City. You think he's the MVP?
No. It's New York. You're right. You're 1,000% right. It's all about the market. That takes it to another level. But Ohtani, for me, is, God, he is the most valuable player in the last 100 years.
No question.
Of baseball.
I've never seen
anything like that. Not just this season. 100 years. Because I know in my 56 years, I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen a player that can come close to this guy to be that good on both sides of the plate. That's just sick. All right, let's get to the depressing stuff now.
Do Marlins here or no?
Yeah, unfortunately. All right, so talk to me, my brother. Is this just like Groundhog Day? Is that what we're going through now? Another off season of new manager, sell me any kind of hope. What are we looking for?
Yeah, here? I mean, I think they'll make moves, but I don't think they'll be significant in nature. You know, I think they're pretty bent about those signings that they had in the offseason with Soler and Garcia. And I don't know that they're going to go back out on the market and spend again. It would be great if they could somehow convince someone to take Garcia, you know, and then I really do think they'd reinvest that $50 million. That would be fantastic. You know, that would require them giving up a prospect to take them off their hands. That's not something they really want to do. But if I was them, I would seriously explore that. And then they could go back on the market and get some viable players here. But beyond that, it's going to be trades. I think they're going to be trading for players. I think they're going to be trading for low, not high salary players. Maybe guys who have a high salary that are on the end of their contracts or something along those lines, and like 1 year deal. I don't see any long term deal.
Do you expect what kind of manager are they? Are they going to get just like a young guy that hasn't had an opportunity? Is that what we're expecting?
I think they're going to interview like 10 people, it sounds like, and all walks of life. Managers who have managed before, ones who haven't, ones who have been coaches. I did a column in the Herald and I listed 6 coaches. I probably would guess 5 of those get interviewed or 4 of those get interviewed, and then some others. I'm starting to hear some other names now, but no one's been interviewed yet. And so it's sort of a waste of time for me to like say, hey, I heard this Orlando, and then the guy doesn't even get interviewed. But I assure you, every interview that happens that I know, I'll report.
Okay. Players, where do some of these players stand? Are there any issues behind the scenes? Are there any players that are not happy about
being here?
Every
player is not happy.
Really?
Yeah, it was a miserable clubhouse season. Absolutely miserable. It was probably one of I can't be 100% sure, but because the Marlins have been around since 93 and I wasn't in all the clubhouses, but in terms of clubhouse harmony, since 1993, at the very least in the bottom 5, and maybe number 1 overall. The players did not get along. There was a lot of discontent over the course of the season. And there are a lot of people who feel that that contributed to some of this year. Now, did it contribute more than 5% or 10%? That's silly. I mean, this is just guys not getting along. You're not going to say that that's going to, you know, contribute to, you know, more than 4 or 5 wins and losses. That's not possible. But
especially in a very individual sport, too.
There was no harmony this year. It was a very difficult year, and I reported that earlier in the year. They had a clubhouse meeting. Yeah. You know, some guys that I talked about didn't like that I reported that. It's just the nature of the game. And, you know, we'll see what happens in the offseason. They absolutely have to clean that up. They have to find a manager that can connect everyone. And Donnie, I think, did his best, but I don't think there was anything he could do.
So what needs to be cleaned out? Because I don't think you just create harmony by keeping everybody together. Something must have been an issue.
Well, I mean, there was a meeting earlier in the year where they, you know, sort of were like a couple of veterans were going in on Jazz for different things, and some of the younger players, and then other players came in the defense of Jazz. Listen, some people felt the meeting was warranted. Other people feel that it didn't. But at that point, the clubhouse was like divided from that point forward, for the rest of the season. So, I mean, it's not a matter of that. I just think it's a matter of at this point, they're going to have to figure out what works and what doesn't work for them in terms of leadership in that clubhouse. I don't know the answer to that, but the new manager will figure that out. Kim Ng was in that meeting, that clubhouse meeting that they had. That was, you know, all that controversy. I saw her walk out of that meeting. I was right there. So she knows. She'll make the decision on whether she's right or not. I wasn't there, but I can only tell you the thoughts of a lot of people during the season. And it caused a lot of discontent for me over the course of the year because I caught a lot of heat from it. But it's part of the game. It's part of reporting, and I did what I had to do.
The Welton Realm Batter's Box with Craig Mish. We do it every week here on the program. Don't forget, you can call if you're looking for a law office to protect your rights. 954-966-4646. Call Welton Realm and tell them that Big O sent you. Promise you, they will take care of you. They took care of us. They brought the Progressive Insurance Company to its freaking knees. So I'm just telling you. We were able to rock the hell out of Progressive,
nice,
thanks to them. So just in case, if you got these big-ass insurance companies trying to bring you down, All the folks are Welton Rayon. They're in Hollywood, and they serve all of South Florida. And in the Keys, by the way. They also have an office in the Keys. So if you're actually watching out there in the Keys. One more thing before I let you go.
Sure.
Bruce Sherman.
What about
where does he stand? What's the plan? But, I mean, this is not a guy that can sit back and complain because he hasn't produced as an owner. But he's got to be also frustrated with the results. And I always hear from these owners that they're not happy with the results from the fans or the attendance and those kind of things. But in the end, if you don't do your part in this town, you're not ever going to get support. And so what is the plan for Bruce Sherman? Are you just going to waddle around and be a low payroll team and collect taxes? Is that the plan, that you're still making a little bit of money and that's about it?
No, I think he wants to win. I think he very much wants to win. We can debate the finances of Major League Baseball teams. The Marlins still have an unresolved attendance issue. They don't know. No one goes to the games.
And no, you don't win. Nobody's going.
I mean, but, you know, again, if I guaranteed you they'd sign Xander Bogaerts, would you guarantee me their attendance would rise by 30%?
I'm not going to guarantee you anything until they win, Mitch.
Right.
You got to win. It doesn't matter if it's you playing.
He could sign everybody and nobody could come. You know, it's the same thing that's been going on since 2003.
But watch the Panthers. They're building it up. And look, now Inter has now getting into the playoffs. You're going to now, if you're going to start becoming a playoff team, you're going to start seeing that stadium get full. You know what I mean?
Right. But at what cost, I guess, is the question. Look,
you got to make an investment, doggy.
I mean, he invested 55 in Avisail Garcia, invested 36 in Jorge Soler, bro, and they both were not that great. And Sandy Alcantara got a $50 million extension. So you're telling me he said, here's $140 million this offseason, and we're going to win two more games the next year. What would you do in his spot? I'm not making an excuse for him.
But I would fire the baseball people.
Well, obviously. Here we are. Well, here, you know, Derek Jeter's gone.
You know what I'm saying?
Derek Jeter's gone, and so is Gary Denbo, right? So right. You know, that's the deal. So what I would say about Bruce Sherman, not a lot of people ask about him. I don't know why. But what I would say about Bruce Sherman is the last 5 years, prior to this season, there's no passes for 2022. But prior to this season, Bruce Sherman wrote the checks and did not do anything else, bro. Nothing else. This was Derek Jeter's show. We right. want to do this. I want to do this. This is who I like. This is what I want to do. And he had complete autonomy to do that. It was in his contract to make every decision.
Sure.
And then every decision would be brought to the ownership, and they basically would sign off on it because this was Derek Jeter. This was his decision. And right. they just had enough. And they had had enough. It was like, hey, wait a second here. Like, what are we doing? Like, no one's making any money here. We were not winning any games. Right. We're not in any better financial position than what we were. And now Derek's gone. So what I would say is, in terms of accountability, yes, Bruce Sherman has to be accountable for all 5 years here. No question. But in terms of the way that I view it now, because now the decisions are his. There's no one else in the organization that's saying, hey, we have to do this. He has to be the one inevitably to make all the decisions. So for an example, I can't speak to everything, but I know I am pretty sure that the manager of the Miami Marlins will be the decision will be made by Kim Ng in terms of who they want to hire. But Bruce Sherman, in this case, is really going to hire the manager right. where previously this would have been Derek Jeter. Like it's his decision. He's involved in it. So now is really the time I think to start judging that. But the problem is, Orlando, nobody wants to hear that. And I don't blame you if you don't want to hear it either. What are you kidding me?
No, I believe – no, but I trust you when you tell me this. I trust you. But the only thing I would say to Bruce, who, by the way, doesn't look like he's a jerk. He actually looks like he's a decent dude. I'd like to sit down and talk with him one day. But overall, I just think in this town, Craig, you know how it is, dude. You got to win. You got to entertain. That's how you're going to get support here. And until you become that team, and that's his job, and he's got to find the right baseball people. But he's got to become a team that is entertaining to watch night in and night out. And then I think you'll start to draw a crowd. Are you going to get 30,000 every night? We're not that kind of place.
No, I can't project what the future is going to hold. Could next season look very much like this one? It is possible. I don't know the answer to that. But – what I would say is it is going to be Bruce Sherman's team. This I know. And the other thing that I hear, and it just doesn't stop, like it literally doesn't stop. And I can never be certain of anything because I could be fooled into things, you know, certainly be told things that are not true. But for those people who think that any decision that's being made or has been made is in order for him to sell the team, that is not happening. So okay, like when you hear that, Orlando, and someone writes about that they're having money problems or whatever, none of that is true. This guy is going to be the owner of the team. I would, if I had to guess, he'll be the owner of the team a long time.
Okay.
But I can't guarantee they're going to win anything. Like that I can't do. But we got to cut the nonsense of, oh, they're firing people, or they let, you know, last week they let go of of their director of player development. I don't know.
Right.
And then they also got rid of the two guys, Jeff DeGruden, Hadi Rod, were both let go. They both had contracts through next year. They're gone. And five scouts, they're gone too. So
by the way, that was all Jeter. Before he left, he gave everybody new contracts. He
gave everybody new contracts through 2023. Correct. He gave everybody new contracts without you know, except for Mike Hill, who won in 2020. So go figure that one. But
right.
But anyway, so so that happens. Then what text do I get? Oh, Bruce Sherman selling the team. Here we go, firing these guys, cutting the salary, trying to make it as little as possible. So, it's just not true. It's just
no,
true.
No. I put one and one together because when you were saying that Derek Jeter's made all those decisions, I know that somebody else told me that behind the scenes that Derek took care of all his people before he left. He signed them all to contracts and then walked out the door.
All of them.
And so, yeah, even vendors, everything. He took care of everybody before he left out of there.
Is it any different than what Jeffrey Loria did right before he left? No, same exact thing.
Well, no. The difference is Jeffrey Loria stole the $1 billion when he left. So that's
right. But he also extended all of his people too.
No, you're right. You're right. He did.
He left. I'm not asking anybody to give anybody a chance. I mean, everyone has to make their own decisions with this. This year was horrendous. Sure. And I can't sit here and say buy tickets or even defend anything by you saying, oh, they got to spend, they got to win. All these things are all true. But in the end, if you ask me my belief, I believe this guy does want to win. I genuinely do believe that. And the guy committed 55 to one guy, 36 to another, and an extension for 50 million. Cleveland did zero. Pittsburgh did zero. Cincinnati tore it down. Oakland traded everybody. The Marlins built up. They didn't build up as much as you would want or someone else. Fair. But they did do something, and it was a complete disaster. So now it's like, okay, we hit this huge disaster. Let's do it again. And now you're that guy going, huh, I don't know. Should we do it again? Like, and that's what's going on right now, I'm sure.
Okay. All right, since you are all knowing, who comes out of the wild card round? Rays or Guardians?
Rays.
Phillies or Cardinals?
Oh, this is tough. This is a tough one. Oh, boy.
Come on. You got a lot of insight on the Cardinals.
I took the Phillies on my earlier show. I hate to go against the Cardinals, but I'll take the Phillies here. I'm partial to JT Realmuto.
And you break all these Cardinals stories. You have a lot of insight in that damn lock.
I really do. But I think Realmuto, it's hard to go against JT.
All right. Mariners and Blue Jays.
Mariners, easy.
Okay. Padres and Mets.
Mets, easy.
There you go. Now you know, folks. You got it all there.
What about the other two? The answers. Oh, we did them all? That was it?
Yeah, we did them all. Well, those are all the Friday ones.
I think that you'll probably have a couple of three-game series, but I think Major League Baseball is going to have to adjust this because there's a huge advantage, Orlando, to playing three games at home, man. Like, you win the first one, you lose the second. Remember that feeling where you had to go travel for game three? Now you're, like, back at home. Oh, okay, fine. You know, like, I don't know. That's the only thing that I think they need to tweak, either a 1-1-1. But that's a lot of travel. I don't know. They have to figure that out.
Hey, why don't we have them like in places that are neutral? Bring it to Miami.
But that wouldn't be fair to the Mets. Like a team like that, they win 100 games and they don't even get home field. They gotta have
some. Well, actually, it would be fair to the Mets because we have a ton of Mets fans here in South Florida.
We invite them to come to the games.
Exactly.
We invite them to buy tickets to the games. We root for them. Go Mets.
It's a beautiful thing.
Can you imagine the Red Sox and helping out?
Oh, no.
The Cubs?
No.
Imagine the Dolphins putting out something and say, hey, we're 2-15. Come root for the Dolphins against the Jets so they don't win the division against New England. I mean, you'd be out of your mind.
Definitely. No, that would be absolutely insane. All right, tell them about the Sports Grid.
All right, Sports Grid every day, 11 a.m. Eastern, Fantasy Sports Today, 2 p.m. Eastern on Newswire, talking sports betting every day from 2 to 3, and Fantasy Sports from 11 to 12. New podcast tomorrow, Swings and Mishes, maybe the last one for a long time. Who even knows at this point? I've been grinding this for years, and who knows? But anyway, tomorrow we'll have a wrap-up podcast, so that'll be on Apple, on iTunes.
Mish is basically telling you there's not enough revenue to do it anymore.
Buddy, it really is not. Like, I'm like, I mean, it really is not. Like, what would you do if you were me? Like,
I know you for 20 years. I know exactly what
you're thinking. Would you do if you were me on this? Would you continue to do this podcast? I'm not making any money off this.
No, I know. They're not helping you. I get it, bro.
I can't sell 95 losses every year. I can't do it. As good as I think I am and the insight that I get.
No, you're excellent. You're excellent.
But again, I don't. No one wants to buy that.
I know.
I think that if I did the Savannah Bananas, I may be able to make some money.
But yeah, you probably would, because at least it would be entertaining.
But
you could dress like a banana for the podcast.
Anything. I'll listen. You know me, like Default. I'll go on the street in a chicken outfit. But, right. You know, I mean, and we're the hustlers of all time, you and me. But there's got to be some end game here.
Yes.
And when I started this podcast, I thought in 5 years, we're going to be a playoff team. And here I am. I'm going to be the king of the world. I'm going to have the most insightful podcast on a Major League Baseball team that's going to be in the postseason. And I don't even know if I can say that. I got to do this all again next year, too. I mean, right. Man, I don't know.
You're profiting a hell of a lot more in the batter's box than you are on Swings and Missions.
I mean, respectfully, that's kind of sad.
I know.
Respectfully, that is kind of sad. I did make money the first, like, 2 or 3 years, but I really hustled it. And then, like, I kind of stopped hustling it, and no one's knocking my door down. That's for sure.
Right, yeah. That's tough, man.
But my other gigs, I'm doing fine. I'm not complaining.
Right, exactly.
It's just that is now a labor of love completely.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully the Marlins, you know, turn it around, man. It would be nice.
It would be nice.
All right, Mish Meister, have a great weekend. Enjoy the baseball, my friend. I appreciate you as always. We'll catch up next week.
Sounds good, man. Have a great week.
Thank you, sir. There you go. Craig Mish, baby. We now step out of the batter's box.
You've been listening to The Batter's Box with MLB and Marlins insider Craig Mish. The Batter's Box is brought to you by Welton Rayom Attorneys at Law. Personal injury, homeowners, or condo property damage. Bankruptcy or criminal defense. Call for a free consultation at 954-966-4646 or go online at WRFLA.com. Download any episode by subscribing to our podcast at Big O Radio Show on most platforms.